All right. Well, good to see everyone here this evening. Take your Bibles, open to the book of Matthew. Let me just say, you should all thank me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I told my wife this morning, I said, I feel like pulling an April Fool's. And I said I should get on the church private page and put a letter that says, after careful consideration, I've decided to resign as pastor of the church. And my wife said, you better not do that. I said, why? People think it's funny. She said, people have a heart attack. So like I said, you can thank me for not doing it, all right? I did not do that, okay? And I thought it would be funny. It's a good thing I listened to my wife, right? Yes, I'm telling you, yeah. I guarantee you, if I would have done that, as soon as I would have walked in tonight, I guarantee as people would have been coming up very angry. How dare you do that? You scared us, you know. Or some of you would have been like, why are you here then? Some of you probably been like, hey, you resigned today. Why are you here? You know, what? See ya. You know, I don't know. Whatever emotion you would have had, please don't show it tonight. Okay. Just don't, whatever one it was, just don't tell me about it. Okay. Matthew chapter five. And we're looking through this series on the matter of the heart and kind of in the Sermon on the Mount. We looked at the Beatitudes, and then Jesus begins talking about some heart issues, and he uses this phrase, ye have heard that it was said, and he talks about things that were in the law, and then he says, but I say unto you, and so he's not trying to diminish the law, but he's expounding on it and making it clearer. And so we saw in verse number 21, he says, ye have heard that it was said of old time, thou shalt not kill, right? So we looked at murder. In verse number 27, he says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. And so we looked at lust. In verse number 33, he says, again, ye have heard that it hath been said of them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. So we looked at just being truthful and honest and you know, making sure that we, our yea is yea and our nay is nay, right? Just being the most honest people as God's children. So tonight we're in verse number 38, and there are two more that we're going to be looking at in this series, one tonight and then one next Wednesday night, Lord willing. But in verse number 38, he says, again, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye shall resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. And so tonight, we're looking at, again, this series on the matter of the heart. We're going to be looking at the topic of retaliation. Retaliation, right? And I would say one of the hardest things in life is not getting even. Could we say that? One of the hardest things is not to get even, right? Because when someone does something to us, our natural response is we want to get even. We want justice. We want revenge. We something needs to be done, right? And so everything in us wants to say, well, they hurt me, so I will hurt them back. Or they disrespected me, so I can disrespect them and I'll show them, you know. They took from me, so I'll take more from them. And I think it's very obvious we live in a culture that thrives on retaliation. That's our culture today. It thrives on retaliation. But here in Matthew 5, Jesus Christ calls his followers to something really, we could say, radically different. I mean, this is radically different than what the culture of the time was even then. And here's what's so amazing about this. As we look at all these different things, you know, we can see how prevalent all these things are in our society and in our day today. But what we fail to realize is that they were just as prevalent in Jesus's day in society, which is why he's having to write about them, right? Sometimes we have this idea, well, the only problems in our society have only been in our society and in our day. No, they have been throughout the course of history, right? Jesus dealt with them 2,000 years ago, and we're dealing with them even still today, right? So again, as he is, he's trying to call us to something different, not revenge, but restraint, not retaliation, but righteousness, not getting even, but giving grace. And so tonight we're gonna see that true strength is not in fighting back, but in surrendering your rights to God. Surrendering it to God, all right? And again, we're gonna look at this, and we're gonna try to even clear up some misconceptions about this passage as well. But notice the first thing he says here. Notice the limitation of the old standard. The limitation of the old standard, okay? Notice what he says here. He says, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now again, he's quoting back from the Old Testament, right? He's quoting back from the Old Testament. And this law, again, was originally given by God. But let me ask you a question. Why did God give this law? Why did he give this law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? Anybody want to take a stab? Why is this law given? Brandon, what do you think? Okay, that's a good point. Brandon said revenge or hate, only it brings more hate, brings more revenge, right? And that's very true, right? Somebody else, what do you think? Why did God say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? What's the purpose of it? Aaron? Justice? Okay. All right. Anybody else? What do you think? Christy? Okay, it points out the consequence of the sin. You know, if you did something to someone, something would be done to you, so there's the consequence. But if we think about it, God gives this law, first of all, to ensure justice is fair, right? So we're not being excessive, right? Justice is fair, but it also prevents that excessive punishment and it stops the cycle of escalating violence, right? Because again, this is what has been done. This is what the punishment should be, right? So there's an element of justice being fair, okay? But by Jesus's day, just like everything else, this law had been twisted. It had been twisted. It was basically now a justification for personal revenge. Instead of justice being fair, it became, well, I have a right to get even because of what they did to me, right? Now it's not about justice, now it's about personal retaliation. It's about personal revenge, okay? And even today, we may not quote the phrase, an eye for an eye, but let's be honest, do we not live it? We live it, right? How do we live this this out in our day today, an eye for an eye? And I'm not talking about the government, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about personally. How do we live this out in our own lives? Be honest tonight, right? How do we live this out in our own personal lives? Obviously, we're not the government, right? So we can't bring justice upon someone. But when someone does something to us, what are the ways that we try to, or what are the things that we do to get even? What do we do? Aaron? Okay, if they say something about us, we're gonna make sure that we say something about them, right? I thought I saw another hand. Is Laura? Okay, wouldn't we say we're gonna get the last word in? Right, wouldn't that be kind of, you know, well, how dare you say that to me? I'm gonna make sure that I get the last word in, right? And then that comes back, we're like, no, I'm gonna get the last word in. Right? What are we doing? That's basically that same idea, right? Anybody ever heard of, and I know in marriages you've never heard of this, but the silent treatment? What is the silent treatment? You did this to me, so this is what I'm going to do to you. Right? The silent treatment? Or gossiping about other people, you know, trying to make them look bad, holding grudges, right? So the spirit of retaliation is alive and well, even in, could we say, Christian families, the church, right? And so this is why Jesus is calling us to this radical difference in how he wants us to live our life, okay? Now, notice the command of a higher standard, right? Notice the command. He says, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil. So here is the command to a higher standard, okay? Now, I will say this. This passage has been taken out of context by many who want to use this passage to claim pacifism, right? This is the like number one passage that people go to promote pacifism, okay? Good question. Get ready. I'm going to explain it. In other words, that we aren't supposed to protect ourselves. We're not supposed to defend ourselves or our country. We're not really supposed to stand for rights. We're just supposed to just let everything go and whatever happens, happens, right? We can't do anything, right? We're not allowed to do anything about it, right? But I would encourage you to look that, and I do not believe that Jesus is talking about pacifism, not in any way of the imagination, okay? He's not talking about ignoring crime when he says that ye resist not evil. He's not saying, hey, if crime is happening, just turn around and look the other way and don't say anything about it. No, he's not talking about eliminating justice. No, God is still a God of justice. So he is still just. So he's not eliminating justice, nor is he allowing abuse, okay? He's not promoting these things when he says, resist not evil. That's not, again, sometimes, some reason we have this idea when he says resist not evil, then that means we're just supposed to stand back and we're just supposed to not do anything. We're just supposed to let the world go the way the world wants to go and we just don't do anything, right? We don't protect our family. We don't protect our friends. We don't protect our country. We don't stand for right. We don't voice our opinions about wrong. We don't even have a voice, you know, in government to vote and things like that. We just stay out of it all and just let it happen. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He isn't saying resist not evil ever. It's not what he's saying. Did Jesus Christ resist evil? He did. Did he not go into the temple and drive out the money changers? I would say that's resisting evil, right? He resisted evil. Did David resist evil when he killed Goliath? I would say that's resisting evil, right? And God used David to kill Goliath because David was resisting evil. Paul resisted evil multiple times, even when he was wrongfully accused. When Paul was put in jail and they said, hey, this was actually in Philippi in Acts chapter 16. He's been put in jail. He's been beaten. He's been put in stocks. The Philippian jailer gets saved. Then the magistrates come and say, oh, by the way, we're going to go ahead and let you go. And Paul says, hold on a second. You're not just going to do this by night. I'm a Roman citizen. And you're gonna do this right. And they're like, uh-oh, you're a Roman citizen? You're part of Rome? And we just beat you and we just put you in stocks and we just put you in jail? Uh-oh. And by the way, that wasn't the only time he did it, right? There were other times that he did that as well. So when we have this idea when he says, resist not evil, that means we can't do anything about anything bad. No, that's not what he's talking about, okay? That's not what he's saying, okay? Hold your place here and look over in Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12, notice what he says in verse number 18. Hold on a second. I am in 1 Corinthians. That is not Romans. Romans chapter 12, verse number 18. Notice he says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Right? He says, live peaceably with all men. Well, what's the first part of the verse say? If it be possible. You know what that means? There's going to be sometimes when it's not possible. There's going to be sometimes when it's not possible to live peaceably with all men. Why? Because when you try to take a stand for right and you try to take a stand against evil, guess what's going to happen? It's not going to be peaceable. And so Paul says, if it be possible, yes, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Right? But Christians are called to stand against evil. Christians are called to stand against wrong. We are to stand for right. Okay? So don't look at Matthew chapter 5 and say, oh, resist not evil. So that means we can't ever say anything about any government. We can't say anything about any bad politicians. We can't say anything about anything. We just have to let evil go on. That's not what he's talking about here. Okay? So we've got to get that out of our mind, okay? He is addressing personal retaliation. He's addressing personal retaliation. He's saying, don't take justice into your own hands. Don't seek evil for evil. Don't bear a grudge and resent those who have mistreated you. Don't seek out opportunities to retaliate, right? Again, he's saying, don't seek these things out. Now, again, if there is evil that is there and you have to stand against it, fine. But we're not to try to seek it out. We're not trying to find these things, okay? Christians should not be known as vengeful people who hold grudges. You understand? Revenge, revenge eats you up from the inside, right? It's like bitterness. It eats you up from the inside. And this is what Jesus is saying. Look, don't be always thinking, how am I going to get even with this person? This is what they did to me. I'm going to do this to them. And he says, hey, no, don't do that because it's going to destroy you instead of them because it's going to eat you up from the inside. And he gives us four pictures of godly living or kingdom living, right? There's four pictures that he gives here. These are four real life examples that he gives, okay? And again, none of these have to do with resisting evil in a way that we would think as pacifism. None of them do, okay? Watch what he says here. He says in verse number 39, you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Ah, you say, Pastor, you didn't see this because he said, if somebody hits you, you shouldn't hit him back. You should just turn the other cheek and let him hit you again. Well, that's not what it says at all. It's not what it says. Now that may be how you want to interpret it, but that's not what Jesus said. What did he say? He says, whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. In Jesus's day and in the culture, right? Again, think about it. Brother Gene, can you come here just for a second? Brother Gene, can you come here for a second? So think about this. Sometimes we don't even put ideas into perspective, okay? Come here just for a second. Look, face me. Where is his right cheek? It's over here, right? For me, and again, and most people are right-handed. for me to smite Brother Gene on his right cheek. And notice it's very specific. He didn't just say on his cheek, he said on thy right cheek. Right? Is that what it says? It's right there up on the screen, okay? How am I gonna hit him on his right cheek? The only way I can do that as a right-handed person is to backhand him, okay? That's the only way I can do it. The only way I can do it is to backhand him. In Jesus's day, the culture, that to smite someone on their right cheek is a sign of an insult. It's not we're fighting. We're not over here duking it out. Oh, I hit him on his right cheek. And so he, you know, that's not what it is. This is referring to an insult. If I was going to insult Brother Gene, instead of using words or things like that, I would smite him on his right cheek. There is an insult that is being taken place, right? Remember in the old days, they would take the glove, right? They would take a glove and, right? What was that? It's a challenge. It's an insult, right? That's what this is. This is not, it had nothing to do with fighting. This is an insult that is being given from one person to the other person. Okay? Thank you, Brother Gene. Right? So think about what he's saying here. He says, whosoever smiteth thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other. Okay? So this is not a violent assault. It is an insult. There's a difference between an assault and an insult. Okay? This is not a fight. This is an insult that is being done. A backhanded slap was meant to humiliate. It was meant to dishonor. And Jesus is saying, don't respond insult with insult. Because the natural response, if somebody insults you, what do we want to do? Or I'm going to insult them. No, he says, no, that's not what you need to do. Don't respond. If you are insulted, don't respond back with insult. That's what he's saying here, okay? Have you ever had someone talk down to you or mock you or ridicule and misrepresent you? Everything in you wants to get back at them. Right? Come on. Everything in you wants to, again, we want to get the last word. We want to let them know what's on our mind. We're going to give them a piece of our mind. Can I tell you what Jesus says? Shut up. That's what he says. Just keep your mouth shut. Don't respond in insult when you have been insulted. Just be quiet. Again, it's like Brandon said, what happens? When somebody insults you and you respond an insult and they're gonna insult you back and you're gonna respond an insult and it just feeds and it just keeps going. He says, just leave it. Leave it. Why don't we want to leave it? Pride. It's pride. Don't they know who I am? How dare they talk to me that way? How dare they insult me? How dare they mock me? How dare... Okay, who are you? You see, we want it to be about us. Jesus says it needs to be about him. He says it needs to be about him. And so instead of responding in insult, he says, just don't say anything. Don't say anything. You don't have to win the argument to win the moment. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, he says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. You ever had somebody comes up, man, they're chewing you out. At the end, you say, thank you. How are they going to go from there? Thank you? Right? They'll be like, you know what? Thank you. That's not going to work, right? But if you have a soft answer, God says it turns away wrath. This is what Jesus is saying, right? So what do we need to do? We need to refuse, first of all, here's the first thing. It's not about our response. The first thing is we need to refuse to be easily offended. And that's not always easy, bro. You're right. That's not easy. It's not easy to not easily be offended because of me, because of our pride. When somebody offends us, we want to let them know. But here's what God says. You've got to live in such a way that you don't have a chip on your shoulder all the time, and you are not going to be easily offended. You know how you do that? You've got to walk in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, you can live in such a way when you're not easily offended. I remember, I think I even told you guys this maybe a year or so ago, but a couple years ago, I started the year and I said, Lord, I want to go through this year and I'm going to do my very best. Lord, you're going to have to help me. I don't want to be offended. I'm not going to let people offend me. And it did not take long for the testing to start, right? It did not take long, right? But I remember, I said, Lord, I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to trust you. They can say what they want to say, but I'm not going to be offended. And there were people that said things about me. There were people that, to my face, literally basically cussed me out and things. And I mean, it was like, Lord, I said I don't want to be offended, but you didn't have to bring all these people at once, you know? But you know what? It was a trying time. But I'm very thankful that even through that, because here's what happened, and I can look back and I can be thankful for it, because I tried to have a soft answer that turned away wrath, because I tried not to be easily offended. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know that I did it 100% successfully, but I know because I was consciously aware of trying to do it and asking the Lord to help me every day, I did not get as offended as I have in the past. And even because of that, there were those that said some things and did some things that if I would have struck back, we probably would not be friends today. In fact, they probably wouldn't even be church members today. You said those were church members? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know what? We got a great relationship today. Why? Because I understood that God did not want me to be easily offended. And look, and I can tell you, being as a pastor, it's tough not to be easily offended. You know? I mean, you're trying to invest in people, you're trying to preach what God wants, and there's just some times where it's tough. But is it possible? Yes. And this is what he's saying. We have to live in such a way that we're not easily offended. And then simply let God defend your reputation. Let God defend it. Look, let them say what they want to say. You just keep serving God. You just keep being faithful. You just keep doing what God wants you to do. Love them and let God work it out. This is what he's saying here, right? Now, look at the second thing. Look at this, the second illustration. Not only do we see the insult, right? He says, whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. But notice verse 40. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. So notice here, we have first of all an insult. We have secondly, injustice. Injustice, right? Notice what he says. If any man will sue thee at the law, let him have thy cloak also. So he's suing you for the coat. The coat was the inner garment. It was very basic. But then he says the cloak, which is the outer garment, was something that was very essential for them during that day because it served multiple purposes. It served as a blanket. It was a heavier type of material. And again, it was more like a robe type, so it was longer. It wasn't just like a short shirt or a jacket or something, so it was longer. And it could serve as a blanket at night. It would also serve as protection from the elements. And so what Jesus is saying is, be willing to lose more than expected rather than fight for every right. Be willing to be defrauded. Sometimes we fight hard over money, possessions, being right, than we do for our own testimony. We fight more for those things than we do our own testimony as a Christian. I remember, I think I've told you this illustration before, but I remember in Uganda, we had a young man that was staying on our church property. He was staying in a room there and, he was kind of an orphan and we wanted to help him. And so I bought all of the cooking utensils and things that he needed, like the little pans and the sagiti, the little charcoal stove. And I bought the spoons and some plates for him. I bought his mattress. I bought so much for this young man. His name was Ben. And I bought these things for Ben. And he was there for a while. And then Ben started doing some things that were not right and stuff. And so the guys came and they said, Pastor, Ben really shouldn't be staying on the church property. He's not doing some right things. He really needs to go. And so we told Ben, I said, Ben, you're gonna have to leave the church property. But you know, I paid for these things, so you need to leave them. I paid for the mattress, you need to leave it. I paid for all the cooking things, you need to leave it. And my idea was we would find somebody else to stay there and he could use those things. And so Ben said, no, I'm taking them. And I said, no, you're not. And Ben said, yes, I am. And I said, bet me. And we're kind of going back and forth. I mean, it wasn't just in a heated argument. It was just over a couple of days and things. And finally, Pastor John, who was not the pastor at the time yet, he said, Pastor, I think you really need to let him have the mattress and the cooking utensils. I said, John, whose side are you on? You on mine or this turkey over here that's not doing right? Whose side are you on? And this is what he said. He said, Pastor, is it really worth your testimony? Is it really worth your testimony? Is that mattress and those cooking utensils really worth your testimony? Is it really worth the testimony of the church? I said, you know what, John? You're right. It's not. It's not worth my testimony. It's not worth the testimony of the church. Ben took the mattress. He took the cooking utensils. It was worth my testimony. It was worth the testimony of the church. Is it worth your testimony? Is it worth the testimony of Christ? Are we willing to be defrauded for the sake of the testimony of Jesus Christ? Again, we're not talking about things that are, you know, again, if you've got to remember, Jesus isn't saying don't oppose evil. That's not what he's saying, okay? But so many times we're willing to fight for little things, petty things, because we want to be in the right, instead of being willing to be defrauded for the testimony of Christ and for our own personal testimony, okay? And so this is what Jesus is saying. Hey, if he sues you for your coat or your cloak or your coat, don't just give him your coat, give him the cloak also. What is he saying? Go beyond what they're expecting. Go beyond it. Do more than what they're expecting, okay? Notice the third thing here, right? And by the way, it's better to be wronged than to damage your testimony. Again, God will deal with that. But you do everything you can to keep your testimony. That's why sometimes we need to stop speaking. Sometimes we need to stop acting. Sometimes we need to be willing to be defrauded. Why? For the testimony of Christ, right? Notice what he says, the third thing here in verse number 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. So whosoever will go a mile. So here is, we've seen the insult, there's the injustice, and now here is the imposition, right? He says, go the second mile. Roman soldiers, because Rome ruled the land during this time, Roman soldiers could force Jews to carry their gear for 1 mile. 1 mile. This was legal, right? The Romans had a law that you could take a Jewish person and say, hey, carry my stuff. And by law, they were bound to carry it for 1 mile. So that means, you know, maybe a man has come and he's got all of his vegetables and stuff that he's grown in the garden, and he's setting up his little stand in the market area, and he's getting ready to sell for the day. And here comes a Roman soldier and he says, hey, carry my stuff for a mile. He can't stand there and argue with the guy and say, hey, I just set up my stand. I can't do that. No, he knew that if he was to say anything negative or do anything, no, I'm not going to do it. That Roman soldier had power. They could either imprison him, they could kill him, they could pretty much do whatever they want. And so by law, he was required to take up, leave whatever it was he was doing, pick up that Roman soldier's gear and carry it a mile. Now, think about this. We know what mile markers are, right? Right? I wonder where that idea came from. Mm-hmm. So here it is. You've got this Jew, and he has picked up this Roman soldier stuff, and he is bound by law to carry this stuff for a mile. So he's carrying it all the time. This Roman soldier is either walking next to him, in front of him. He's carrying it. Let me ask you a question. What do you think his attitude is? I don't think he's hop, skipping, and jumping down the road. I guarantee you, he's probably mumbling under his breath, how dare this guy, who does he think he is? Boy, if I could just do something about him, boy, I would do it, you know. And he sees that mile marker coming up, and he finally, he is not going to go 1 foot beyond that mile marker. Why? Because that's all that the law required. I am only required to go 1 mile. Period. Stop. I ain't going another step. Here's your junk. Jesus says, go two. Whoa, wait. Wait a minute, Lord. What do you mean go two? I'm only required by law to go one. Yes, you're required by law to go one, and you did it begrudgingly. You did it out of hatred. You did it because you had to. Now he says, go the extra mile. Go 1 more mile because you want to. Dude, that's radical. Is it not? He says, go another mile. Why? Because in that next mile, your whole attitude now changes. Now you're not doing it because you have to. Now you're doing it because you want to. Now you're doing it because this is what the Lord has told you to do. You're not doing it because the Roman soldier said so. Now you're doing it because the Lord said so. Now you're doing it with a grateful heart, with a heart that says, Lord, you know, all my stuff's back there at the market. I don't know what's going on with it. I don't know if somebody's taking it. I don't know what's going on. Because remember, you've walked a mile. You still got to walk another mile to get back. Now, Lord, you want me to go 2 miles? That means I got to get 2 miles back. He says, go with him two. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Go with him two. Don't just meet the requirement. Jesus said, exceed it. Go beyond. Anyone can do what's required, right? Anyone can show up to work. That's what's required. Anyone can do the minimum. Anyone can fulfill the obligation. But God's people should do more than expected. At work, go beyond your job description. At church, serve without being asked to serve or being told to serve. At home, give more than what's fair. Do right. That's what he's saying. Just you have that heart. And again, it all comes back from the heart. It's the heart issue. It's a heart matter. Lord, I'm going to do this because you've told me to. And because of my love for you, I'm going to go that second mile. Now, the second mile, maybe he is whistling. Maybe he is skipping a little bit down the. But let me ask you a question. What do you think that Roman soldier's going to think when he gets to that mile? He gets to that mile. He's walked. He's heard you grumbling. He's heard you complaining. He's heard all of it the whole time. And he knows what Jews think of Romans making them walk a mile. And you get to that 1 mile marker. He knows you're going to stop. You're not going to go 1 step further. He knows you're probably going to take his junk and throw it down. And then all of a sudden he sees you go a step beyond and keep on walking. And keep on walking, and you haven't thrown his stuff down. In fact, now you're walking, and you're actually your attitude. What is he going to think? You see, we always want it to be about us. God says it needs to be about him. when he sees that, he's going to see there is something different about you. Everybody can do the minimum. Anybody can do that. But God says his people, his children ought to go beyond. Do more. Go the second mile. Do a little bit more. Hey, he's suing you for your coat. Give him the cloak too. Hey, he's insulted you. Just leave it. Just leave it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. See, it's not always just about us because, again, the way we respond is also going to affect the person that is doing it to us. They're expecting someone to insult them back. They're expecting someone only to meet the standard requirement. They're expecting someone only to go the 1 mile. What they're not expecting is for you to do more. What they're not expecting is for you to go the extra mile. What they're not expecting is for you to go beyond whatever it is that is required of you. Go the second mile. And notice the fourth thing that he says here at verse number 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. What's he saying? He's saying there are going to be times when people are maybe request something of you. He says, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Again, it's about having an open heart, a generous heart, an open hand. Please understand, this is not enabling irresponsibility, okay? Don't misunderstand. If people are being irresponsible with what they're doing, God's not saying just continue enabling them, okay? Look, I'm so very thankful that we live in the country that we live in, and you know, if somebody is unfortunate enough to lose their job and maybe they're injured in an accident and things, there are things that the government has put in place to try to help meet those people's needs. But here's the thing, it's not supposed to be permanent. It's not supposed to be enabling them, right? It's supposed to just be for a period of time. He's not talking about continuing to enable, right, irresponsibility, but it's cultivating generosity in our own heart. Because here's the thing, when someone asks us of something or someone wants to borrow something of us, what do we normally ask? We ask questions like, do they deserve it? Do they deserve this? Will I get anything back for this? Right? We want it to be reciprocal. Well, if I do it, they better do something for me. Wait, no, then we've missed it. We've made it about us again instead of about the Lord. Jesus shifts the focus again to what kind of heart do you have? The heart behind the command. The passage is not about being weak or passive. It's not about being a doormat. It's about being secure in God that you don't have to be so filled with pride that you're always I gotta get back, I gotta retaliate. No, he says you don't have to do that. You can trust God. Now, please understand, again, this is not talking about not protecting your home. It's not talking about anything like that. We're talking about personal insults. And everything that Jesus commanded here, we see that he lived. He was insulted. And he didn't insult back. He was wronged. He was crucified. And yet he prayed, Father, forgive them. Peter says, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. You see, Jesus is simply showing us the example of what he did. He's not just teaching this, he's demonstrating it in his life. And that's why Jesus came and he demonstrates, he's teaching them, but he's also demonstrating these things in his own life so that we can follow his example. We can live the way Jesus lived. The world says, fight back, get even. Jesus says, surrender your rights. Trust God, show grace. And by the way, can I say that's not weakness, it's strength under control. That's what we refer to as meekness. It's being meek, having a meek spirit. So let me ask you as we're closing tonight, who do you need to stop retaliating against? Is there someone that you're, man, you're just always back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and maybe God says, you know what, it's time that you just need to stop. You need to stop. Turn the other cheek, just stop. Where are you holding on to your rights? Well, they did this to me. Well, I'm gonna get even and I'm gonna retaliate. Is it more important than your testimony? Is it more important than the testimony of Christ? Jesus is calling us to show the world what it's like to live like Jesus. And the question is, will we do it? Will we live like Jesus wants us to live? He's shown us. Or are we going to just retaliate and just follow what the world says? Father, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, so many times in our flesh, pride is just so much in our life, and we battle it every day. Lord, we know the flesh and the spirit, there's a battle that's taking place, and we need to walk in the spirit so that we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, it's so easy when someone says something to us, we just want to snap back. When someone does something to us, we want to retaliate. We want to make sure that they get what's coming to them. And Lord, you've shown us if we're going to live in a way that represents Jesus Christ and to show the testimony and the grace of God, we need to live like Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us, just as we've looked at this tonight, this issue of the heart in retaliation. Lord, we know it begins in the heart. That bitterness, that anger towards someone, towards an issue or something that was said or something that was done. Lord, I pray that you'd help us not to be that type of Christian. But Lord, may we be willing to be one that would forgive. Lord, to be generous. Lord, to go that extra mile. Be more concerned about our testimony of Jesus Christ, the testimony of the church, our personal testimony, than we are about our own personal rights. So, Father, I pray you to help us. Lord, if there's something tonight you're speaking to someone's heart about this issue, Lord, right now, would you help them to get it settled? Help them to get it right. Don't let it linger. Lord, we just need to be obedient to you, and we need to do what you've called us to do, living a life that is pleasing and honoring to you. So, Father, help us with this. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.